Greetings, everybody. Welcome to Flywheel, your number one source for everything Frax, DeFi, and all that's in between. If you want to know what's going on in the world on chain, well, you've come to the right place. This is DeFi Dave here, Solo Dolo, and I'm here to help you harness the power of the Flywheel. And this time around, we're talking memes. A lot of people on the timeline for the past few weeks have been writing, intellectualizing, talking about meme coins and everything that's with it. But you know me, I want to get to the source. So I invited on the co-founder of Pump.Fun, Alon. Pump.Fun is the premier launch pad for meme coins. Looking at it, it's kind of like a 4chan of just like you see meme coins pop up and it's crazy. I highly recommend like looking at the site to like observe like where things are going, and it's really like taken off like I haven't seen before. And I just wanted to get him to talk meme coins, kind of like his thinking about it and what DeFi can learn from it. And I think the number one takeaway from this episode that I had, and something that he kept on pressing, is that culture is everything, and that culture is just as important as the tech. It's kind of like if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one here to hear it, doesn't make a sound. It's like you need a culture to be pushing the tech forward. And with that, I hope you enjoyed this episode. But before we get into it, make sure you go ahead, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell, give us a like, leave us a comment, let us know what you think. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials at Flywheel DeFi on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram, on our forecaster as well at Flywheel DeFi. Make sure you go ahead, subscribe to our website, flywheeldefi.com, for our, the latest news and updates. You can follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22 and also on forecaster at DeFiDave. And now, let's get the flywheel spinning. Do you hold ETH but don't know what to do with it? Want to earn those juicy liquid staking derivative yields but don't know where to start? Well, Frax ETH is there for you. Frax ETH is Frax's native LSD solution, allowing you to earn boosted yields in multiple ways on your ETH. If you want to get started, go to app.frax.finance and turn your ETH into Frax ETH today. Welcome back to Flywheel, everyone. I'm your host, DeFi Dave, and I'm here, still solo. And today we have a very special episode. We are riding the wave of the meme coin meta, and we have on one of the people that are absolutely pushing this forward. We have on Alon, who is the co-founder of Pump.Fun. And I would describe Pump.Fun as a meme coin launch pad. It's like a shit posting bonanza where all like every meme from the internet comes to life in a hyper financialized form. It's absolutely crazy to see and honestly hypnotizing to watch as a user. And in like less than a month that it launched, it's had crazy product market fit, especially on Solana. And Alon, I got to give it to you. It's like hard to find product market fit in crypto, and you just like launched this like right place, right time. And like everyone is like trying to make it out the bottom curve. So it's great to have you on.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. And I'm going to get right into it because, you know, I'm a word cell at heart, and I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, I'm a huge fan of Terence McKenna, and in the past, he's spoken about how memes are the genes of culture, ideas at its smallest unit. And with these meme coins showing up on Pump.Fun, what do you think it says about our culture?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I think if you take a step back and look at what memes have done for our culture overall, it's like, I mean, it's probably one of the greatest things that have come out of the internet. It's just like one simple idea or just anything that's kind of funny that is, there's no idea that spreads quicker on, you know, throughout humanity than a meme, right? It can just blow up overnight, and all of a sudden hundreds of millions of people have interacted with it and can relate on a personal level to that idea. And I think if you look at meme coins, it's just, obviously, you know, it's a crypto, you know, they're crypto native memes, right? Which is a really important thing, because at this point, you know, crypto, I would say I changed my mind a lot since I came to the space. At first I thought, you know, this was like a, you know, crypto is a very, it's like kind of like a new industry focused on tech, nothing too special to it, but it's an extremely political, everything is very political about crypto.
Oh yeah.
About it. And that's why culture is the centerpiece of everything. Culture is like as important as the tech. It really is. So not only are meme coins important in that regard, but technologically they are as just as important too, because never, like, meme coins are just memes, but better, because you attach a price to them. And because of the financial incentives at stake, like, you know, someone can make money from this, they perpetuate even harder. And yeah, I think, like, meme coins are the future of memes. At some point, you know, you're not necessarily going to be sharing memes like you do today. If you find something funny, then why not actually financially share it with your friends, right? Why wouldn't you all have a stake in that, in the success of the meme? So that's kind of like the high level overview of how I think about it.
Got it. And so I couldn't agree more. Like, meme coins are the future of memes. But I'm curious, like, I mean, the meme coins showing up right now on Pump.Fun, like, what do you think it says about our culture specifically? Or what do you think it says about, like, crypto culture, like, right now? In my opinion, I see the separate, like, I'll give my answer. I think I've noticed this, like, split in separation happening in crypto. You have the institutionalization, kind of the mainstreamization of crypto, Bitcoin ETF, institutions dabbling, on Ethereum. And then you have this separate energy, this meme coin degen energy, which has always existed throughout crypto and once really existed in Bitcoin and Ethereum early on, but it never really went away. And, you know, crypto is all about, you know, the little guy trying to make it, the little guy getting into the room and having the same opportunity of someone who, you know, may be in a better position. It's the ultimate equalizer of the playing field. And meme coins, no matter how ridiculous they get, give people that opportunity to make it. And so, like, I that's, like, how I view it. And I feel like with these a lot of meme coins, it's all about emotion, you know, outrage at the current moment. And, like, wherever, like, the most emotion and outrage is, like, currently, that's the current meta, like, there's, like, a gravity to it and whatnot. And it just kind of seems like the self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't think it will be like this forever. I think that shit would be, like, you know, said and done, and, like, we're going to see different memes come about. But that's kind of how I'm viewing, like, memes right now. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, no, I mean, I see it in a similar light. I think that crypto anarchist sort of belief system obviously never went away, right? I mean, this is anyone that's in the space right now, especially right now, as we're still, you know, we're in a bull market or the start of a bull market or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, it's still very crypto native in a sort of sense. And that doesn't really leave. Everyone can kind of relate to it, like how they got onboarded to crypto, and not only onboarded, but why they stayed. I think most people, as radical as it can get sometimes, they just, like, love that anything can happen, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. It's being free is not about, like, kind of, or feeling freedom is not just about doing things that you want to do necessarily, but it's like, it's about embracing the uncertainty in life and kind of, like, embracing that anything can happen and you just want to be a part of it. Right. And I think that's that part of crypto culture is extremely unique. You don't really have that anywhere else, because in Web2 or in finance, as many of us are familiar, you're trapped in some sort of culture where, you know, there's only X amount of things that can happen in terms of how crazy it can get, in terms of the topics that are discussed, in terms of
the Overton window. It's only, like, in, like, a certain area.
You're somewhat trapped. Right. But in crypto, literally anything can happen. It's why I love this industry, and I think that's why, you know, that's why many, many people love this industry too, and I think that really stems from the earliest days of Bitcoin.
Yeah, and let me ask you, how did you get onboarded into crypto, and why did you stay?
Yeah, I mean, so I got onboarded, I'd say, during COVID. That's when I first started really getting into it. Before, I was just kind of like, just kind of dabbled, but I never really, really got into it. I think with the spare time that I got, that was when I started really putting my money where my mouth was. I was like, I have a background in finance, so I was really I was really like into the DeFi stuff, kind of mid-curving it. But a lot of the
that's what we're known for, DeFi. So. they shouldn't call me DeFi Dave. They should call me mid-curve Dave, to be honest.
Yeah. So that's what I was kind of up to. And at some point, I've always been kind of working and doing stuff with my current co-founder. We just decided we wanted to take it a step further, and we just decided, hey, let's start working in this space. Why not? Like, let's go for it. So we started doing BD at a couple of DeFi projects. We were heavily involved with NFT Perp, which is perpetuals for NFTs. Mm-hmm. It was a great ride over there. Around a year. And then after that, just kind of wanted to do our own thing. So started dabbling in NFTs. Yeah, that's kind of when I started getting into NFTs as well, when I was an NFT perp, like really, really getting into it.
Also very meme heavy.
Definitely. Played around with a couple different ideas in NFTs. Honestly, just like for 6 months, 6-9 months, we're just like fucking around and finding out.
An
absolute newbie in building a startup to having a bit of a better sense of what we were doing. And then, mm-hmm. We were trying to find a new idea. Our latest idea kind of failed. I particularly out of the team was very bullish on SocialFi. I really loved Frentech, and I was like, there's something to these bonding curves, man. Like, there's no way this is it. There's no way like this is it. Like, there has to be something to it. Like, I always kind of believed in it. I didn't know what it was. And then that's when Solana started taking off. We were starting to trade shitcoins, getting rugged left, right, and center. And then it just kind of clicked. You just put two and two together. And honestly, look, we didn't invent bonding curves. We also, there were some people that were playing with bond, like meme coins on a bonding curve before, but no one thought about it in the way that we did. No one thought about it in like, let's just like make this like the new meta, like a platform which is for fair launches. And you may see a bunch of different platforms here and there. Maybe none of them really took off, where it's like meme coins on a bonding curve. I think the biggest difference, at least at this stage, between us and them is that like we really made sure that like this product it fits in within the ecosystem. We didn't want to like have a bonding curve that's like infinitely long. Like we are well aware that people want their coin in Dex Screener. People want their coin like to be seen. Like this coin. Our goal from the very beginning is to create a platform where, like, not only for content creators, well, that's a way to call them, like the devs or the coin creator. Not only is it highest like EV for them to create a coin, but also for the speculators as well. And I definitely believe that at this point we have achieved that, and it's I don't think it's particularly close. But I think that's also going to sustain itself even as we gain more market share within the space.
Yeah, I like how you put it. I like what you said about SocialFi and like how you're interested in SocialFi, because meme coins are really more SocialFi than anything else. Absolutely, if you think about it. Yeah. And I love, so you basically saw what Frentech was doing with their bonding curves. And I was on Frentech as well. And there was clearly something there. But clearly the bonding, there's something off about the bonding curve. It was kind of like, you could tell it was going to be a race to zero. And also with the whole 3-3 points culture, the 3-3 that came out of the points culture of it made it too financialized in a sense. It kind of took the fun away from it. We'll see what happens with V2. But anyways, you saw what was going on Frentech. You saw meme coins popping off. I like what you said. You didn't invent either, but you kind of put two and two together. Gamified it, and that's how Pump.Fun came about.
Yeah, exactly. Like we don't want to reinvent the wheel. Like meme coins work, like social, like it works, but it's all about combining them in the right way, in the way that makes them 10x better. I think right now Pump.Fun is like 10x better than the next best experience in SocialFi or meme coins, and I think it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah, I don't see anything else like it. We pretty much answered my question of like, where did the idea come from? But for those who may be unfamiliar, what is Pump.Fun And I'm personally curious, like, where did the layout of the site come from? Because I think that's the key, the whole user experience of the site, where, like, you know, different things are going and, like, something else gets king of the hill, something else goes to the top of the page. It's, like I said in the beginning, it's quite hypnotizing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so a couple questions there. Let's begin with what Pumped Up Fun is.
Yeah.
Pumped Up Fun is the easiest, cheapest, and fastest way to create a fair launch anywhere. So all that means is that you can come to our site and it takes less than 1 minute to create a coin, and it costs less than $2. The important bit here is that, you know, I don't want to get overcomplicated, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that your listeners are familiar with a lot of DeFi topics,
yeah,
including AMMs. You don't have to provide liquidity on a bottoming curve, right? So what that means is that you don't need to provide the upfront capital to have the coin be traded. So if you come to our site, literally all you need is a name, a ticker, and a JPEG for the whatever you want to call it, you know, the PFP of the coin, and then you can instantly launch it, and it's a fair launch, meaning that you don't have any of the supply for yourself as the creator, but anyone can buy it, including yourself. That means it's basically unruggable. Like, no one can rug the coin. You can't change the metadata. You can't freeze any balances from anyone else. You can't rug the liquidity, obviously. The point of it is it's a safe and easy place to create your coin. So it's a win-win for not only for yourself, but for everyone else, because everyone knows that there's your coin, like, you know, you can't rug your coin. That's like the basic kind of, that's the basic overview of the creation side of things. So they trade on the bonding curve. The bonding curve mimics a Uniswap V2 AMM, so an XYK, meaning that, like, you as a trader, like, you get an identical experience trading on Pumped Up Fun versus on an AMM like Radium or Uniswap or whatever. Mm-hmm. And again, yeah, this is kind of like about, like, we are really, really wanting to make it as similar as possible to what else is out there, but just, like, making it way better. So yeah, just to continue. So you trade on the bonding curve, it mimics an XYK, it has about around a couple K in what we call virtual liquidity. So obviously the bonding curve is just a formula which decides what the price is at any given point. You need to have an initial parameter for that, like, what, you know, what price am I getting initially? We just decided that, you know, we looked at past examples of coins that succeeded, and yeah, we saw that around 3, 4, 5K is like the sweet spot in initial liquidity. So that is what we went with. Just take a step back. Your coin trades in a bonding curve, and at a certain stage, at right now it's around 70K, more or less. That is when all the coins in the bonding curve are sold out. Okay, that means that no one can buy any coins in the bonding curve anymore. So all you have is a bunch of SOL, and everyone that has bought the coins have them in their wallets, right? So you can buy and sell whenever you like. It's like its own little DEX, essentially. And once you reach that stage, you have a bunch of SOL, and that SOL is then paired with that coin, which are locked. And then an LP is formed on Radium or, you know, if we ever expand Uniswap. And then the LP token is burned or locked, you know, depending on what chain. And yeah, then from there, it kind of graduates from Pumped Up Fun and keeps trading elsewhere. The point of that is that, you know, we're not going to lie to ourselves, at least not yet. You know, we're not the hub of, we're not the biggest place to trade meme coins. Right now, that's like DexReader, DexTools, BirdEye, etc. They have the most users. And in order for a meme coin to succeed, you need as much distribution as possible. And that is why once you've bootstrapped liquidity, once you've bootstrapped our community and Pumped Up Fun, we allow you to graduate and succeed where you're most likely to succeed, right? And I think that's like a very big difference between like our way of thinking and everyone else. Like we're just trying to provide the best experience possible. And again, mm-hmm. maximize the EV for creators and traders alike.
Let's break it down. Let's go back there. So you only need like $2 to start a bonding curve. You need an idea, you need a meme, and $2. And then at 70, around like 70K, that's when like the bonding curve kind of is full. It graduates and moves on to the wild on Radium and viewed on DexScreener and all that. But in between, you said something about like 3, 4, 5K. Can you, what did you mean by that specifically?
Yeah, kind of noticed. I might have not explained that perfectly. So
that's why we're here. That's why I'm asking questions.
Essentially, we're mimicking, so with the bonding curve, we're trying to mimic an LP, right?
Okay.
But for any LP, you need to seed it with liquidity, right? Mm-hmm. So you need to decide how much do I want to seed this LP with. Usually the risk is if you do too little, then it's going to be extremely cheap for sniper bots to come along and take up all the supply and basically ruin your launch. Mm-hmm. If it's too expensive, then there's too much liquidity, and then what the fuck is the point of mm-hmm. of launching a meme coin, because you're not going to be because the earliest people are not going to be able to get at a really good price, and also it's going to be too difficult to get the price to go up, right? So there's a balance that you need to get to. And that balance we think is around 3 to 5K in liquidity. So again, yeah, maybe I overcomplicated things a little bit, but the whole point is that our bonding curves mimic the best launches, particular LP launches.
Okay, so you could start with $2, but virtually it mimics being around 3 to 5K.
Yeah.
I understand.
The difference is you don't actually have that 3 or 4K. You can't like dump into liquidity that isn't there, but it's like the price, there is 3 to 5K.
That's
the most important thing, because look, we're trading meme coins here. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't, you know, these details don't really matter, because, you know, the users just want an easy way to launch their coin, man.
Easy democratic way to launch their coin or be a part of a launch. Okay. Exactly. Got it. So it's around 3 to 5K virtually at first. And then once it like breaks through that barrier, it gets to like, you know, 10, 20, 30, all the way up to whenever you make it out the trenches in the bonding curve.
Exactly.
Okay, I understand. And it's quite simple using Uniswap V2. Simplicity always better. Like, that's the one thing. Like, it's funny, you know, all these different more complicated AMMs are coming out. And yes, they do have their advantages. But at the end of the day, especially for meme coins, simple is better. People just want
to,
like,
simplicity is king. Again, we're not here to reinvent the wheel. Like, it works, right? So mm-hmm. like, we just wanted to, we wanted to take all the good things. The XYK is the good thing, and leave out all the bad things, which is seeding liquidity. Seeding liquidity is like, man, especially on Solana, like, have you ever interacted with some of these interfaces? Like, they're so slow, they're so shitty, they're so outdated. And not only that, like, people don't even know how to seed liquidity. Then you need to burn the LP tokens, and then you need to like bring a couple K, and then you need to make sure that your launch doesn't get sniped either. Like, there's so many steps, and it's so difficult, so capital intensive. Like, we just solved all those problems by just like introducing this mechanism.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more, and it's, you know, quite the sight to see. But my next question is, you know, let's go into story time. I want to hear some stories from the trenches. You know, is there any, you know, particular like meme coin launches that stick out? Like, what was the first like big meme coin launch? I was like, oh shit, like Pump.Fun is here to stay.
Okay. Great, great question. Oh, I remember I didn't actually answer a question from before. What the inspiration was behind the UI?
Oh yeah, the UI. Yeah, let's go into that.
Yeah. 4chan, basically.
True.
Yeah. The basic idea is, I mean, in terms of like a design decision, it works because of like how people view content on there. It's more about the meme, right? Like, if we really compare between us and like a different place, like Dex Screener, you just like, first of all, it's really easy to like get burned out there, because it's just like you're looking at numbers all day, and it's like really intense stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, on Pump, you don't need to worry about all this stuff, because like every single launch is the same thing. So ultimately, what's the differentiator between these coins? The differentiator is the meme, right? The site needs to be all about the meme. What else is all about the meme? You know, 4chan biz, like that's what it's all about. So that's kind of like that inspiration behind it. To get to your next question, I mean, man, I don't want to like shill any coins or anything, but yeah, there have been a bunch of launches on Pump that have done like really, really, really well.
None of these are financial advice. No, these are just stories. Let's make it clear, but yes, continue.
The ones that I just enjoyed most are the ones that like really made it and actually built a community. Obviously, you've got coins out there that whether in pump or not, you know, someone with a lot of money just like stuck money into them. And yeah, they kind of made a community work. But like what I'd love to see and what Pump Fund is all about, look, we wanted to lower the barrier to entry to creating meme coins and memes to zero, literally zero. And we're almost there. So like we believe in the grassroots community forming that exists in crypto. Like I don't believe that, like, obviously there are coins out there. And plenty of meme coins that are like cabal backed and like whatever. cabal. but you know, it's BS at the end of the day. Like no one actually enjoys that. Like just look at all the pre-sales, all the stupid shit on Base. Like no one actually enjoys that. It's not actually like no one actually like this. It doesn't actually reflect anything significant culturally, because the best memes are the ones that, you know, there were thousands. Like on Pumped Up Fund, there have been like over 20,000, maybe 30,000 coins that have been released, but only very few make it. And it's a combination of how good the meme was and kind of the execution of the earliest believers, right? And it's not just the earliest believer, it's not just the creator, but like the people that joined in early. So what I enjoy seeing most is like the best communities with the best memes. I'm not going to shell anything, but I think like stuff like the pussy in bio was like absolutely hilarious.
I was about to say that one.
It's such a good meme, and man, like it's just such an obvious meme. You know, the best ideas are just like, why has no one done this before? You know what I mean? And also like the community was so organic as well. I still get so many. I know so many people from that community. It's just like they all just found it funny. The best things that come out of meme coins come not necessarily from financial incentives, but from just like people just find it funny, and the financial incentive is there to propagate the meme, right? People create it because it's funny, right? That's
where Dogecoin came from. That's literally where. Yeah. Wait, what's the story behind Pussy in Bio?
I'm not too familiar with all the lore, but yeah, I just know a bunch of the people in there. Kind of went with it early on. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to explain the meme. That's cringe. Just like pussy in bio, man.
Yeah. So we can. It's basically like OnlyFans girls. They usually like tweet that, and then kind of like they're, you know, making fun of that, making it into a coin. And then is it true? Like, what happened with like the Twitter bots and stuff that they actually went after the meme coin on Twitter? Is that something that happened?
Oh yeah, dude. It's really man. I mean, not
that adds to the lore. That adds to the lore.
I swear to God, like before Pussy in Bio, after Pussy in Bio as well, Pump took off and I had more bots in my comments, but every single post I have, someone is like, there are actual bots. Like it's not community members, it's actual bots that comment Pussy in Bio. So like,
it's like the bots are propagating the meme coin.
They literally are. That's the joke. It's great.
Yeah. And any other stories? Is there any other ones where you like know the lore at all?
I mean, there are a couple. I think like the best way. I mean, I think like you need to really live it.
You need to live it. You need to be on Pop Dot Fun. You need to be in the trenches in order to understand this.
For sure.
It's really funny because this podcast is usually, more often than not, it's like a pretty serious in-depth DeFi podcast. We go in-depth into like some complicated protocols. I usually have my co-host here, Kit, who's an MBA who knows finance. And like we go deep into like what's going on with DeFi protocols. But here at Pump.Fun, we're dealing with like true product market fit. And I feel like with DeFi, especially like, you know, I'm a DeFi person at heart, I feel like some DeFi people are like looking at meme coins and they're like, why is that not me? Like, look at my protocol. Like, I'm doing so great here, blah, blah, blah. Like, what could like DeFi protocols and maybe even like more technical layer ones and, you know, crypto projects in general learn from meme coins?
Yeah, I think what I said earlier, like what you learn over time is that culture is as important as the tech. This is a deeply political space. Everything about this space is cultural, political in some way. Just look at some of the most technical projects out there that have a good culture. You know, if you're a deep DeFi appreciator, I think a lot of you guys are going to be excited about Monad. Like that has a very good kind of, you know, memes and culture behind it. And yeah, like it contributes to its image, and it's going to contribute to the absolutely insane FTV that it's going to be trading at.
What has Monad? Yeah, what has Monad done specifically? Because I've seen them; they have good memes, but like they have, you know, and you can feel the energy there. But specifically, like, what have they done?
Well, I think it's difficult. It's difficult. I'm not too close to it either. It's just that from an outsider's perspective, they know how to grab the attention of people, and how, they know that people don't, like, most people don't understand the tech, right? How else are you going to get them excited about the tech? Like, you need to involve them in some sort of other way. It can be just like through the, like, you know, the art and I guess like, and whatnot, but also like the way that you post, you know, there's like a bunch of, you know, I can't get into too many details because I'm not like too familiar with the lore, but I know from an outsider's perspective, like this is clearly something that they did well. I don't know. There's a bunch of like other projects out there that are.
Yeah,
like,
there's also the Barrachain.
Yeah. Too. Oh, Barrachain is really, really good. That's like the best. Actually, I brought up Monad because it's a very technical. You know, you need to be really technically proficient to really understand what's going on there. But Barrachain is, it is quite complicated too if you really get into it. But like some of the core ideas like. Are, you know, it's a bit more more normie friendly to some extent, but nevertheless, look, it's going to be a chain, and it's not like a really simple product, and you've got all these things going on. It's a whole ecosystem, but the way they bootstrapped their community was just like it's just memes.
The memes, the NFTs came first, you know, really from the whole Ohm era of DeFi. Exactly. And then they were just asking, like, hey, like, what are you guys looking for in a DeFi protocol? Hey, what are you guys looking for in a chain? Like, how can we make your DeFi experience better? And that's really where Barrachain came from with their whole proof of liquidity concept.
100%.
And on top, yeah, go ahead.
No, it's just about ultimately, like, even that reflects, like, their perspective as builders. Like, they wanted to build for their users. Like, just become one of your, like, if you're a builder or if you're even, like, a contributor, community member, like,
really become your users,
become your user. I think, yeah, there are many DeFi protocols out there that, you know, if you're an Arbitrum or Base, like, you're going to be more geared towards institutions, and that's fine. But there's, you know, there's culture to that too, to some extent. So, yeah, you know, if it's a bit more of like...
It's a
different culture. If it, you know, if it's a boomer product, it's fine, man. Like, you know, I we don't judge. Like, at the end of the day, that's, you know, if you serve your users, you're going to be successful. So, like, if that's what you're there for, then fantastic. But if you're building a product that you think is supposed to be used by many, many people, then that has to be reflected in everything. So, like, again, you don't need, like, if you look at Pumped Up Fun as well, it's like, we don't have like tons of, like, we didn't create our own NFT collection, or we don't have that many like memes around, you know, Pumped Up Fun, but it's like every design decision that we've ever made was like, you know, the backdrop was like, you're a user, you're a shitcoin trader, every single decision. And it's not only marketing and community, but it's like the layout of your website. Like, when we created the website, some of our investors and before we like succeeded, when we still had a massive cold start problem, people were like, just like, improve your UI, man. It looks like a fucking piece of shit. Like, what is this that you're building?
It's like, no, it's meant to look like a piece of shit. You don't understand.
It's
meant to.
It's just like, yeah, it looks like a total scam. And like, our end goal is, we can dive into that later, like, on board normies. Like, it's going to have to change at some point. But like, this is, like, we know that this is, like, we were really confident and had conviction that this is what really resonated with people. Like, they wanted something nostalgic.
It resonated with the culture.
We know that 4chan kind of worked. Like, we know that people understand that. We know a lot of our users, like, were on 4chan, like, in some of the earliest, like, communities, like you know, Harry Potter, Sonic, Obama, Ten Inu, you know, like, whatever. Like, we just had that deep conviction. And I think, just to wrap it up, like, just make it about your users.
Make it about your users. I couldn't agree more. And I'm going to go to the other side of the spectrum. I'm going to go to the institution side of the spectrum. I remember seeing video advertisements for BlackRock's Bitcoin ETF. And it's like a white guy in a suit talking very calmly, in like a, you know, in a very kind of like nurturing, confident tone, like, hey, everything's gonna be all right. But he was basically talking about, this is, oh, this is the Bitcoin ETF. It's brought to you by BlackRock. Bitcoin is so-and-so, like this and that. And now you can have it in your portfolio. It's a completely different way, to, you know, to like show users or holders a product. And like, I mean, their target demographic is totally different. Hell, the target demographic is literally, you know, pension funds, it's, you know, retirees. And, you know, that's like one end of the spectrum. I mean, Bitcoin is still a meme at the end of the day. And like, they they know what their users want, which is like a serious product that everything's to be okay, that it's safe, that you can like trust it.
It fits within the portfolio.
And it fits in the portfolio. It fits into the kind of their framework. And that works for them. And meanwhile, you have this like completely other side of the spectrum, pump.fun, where it's just like divide, pussy and bio.
And this divide is going to become, it's only going to become more like, it's only going to develop even further, I'd say. Because yeah, I mean, we only just began with the Bitcoin ETF and this entire cycle. And yeah, there's going to be, I think that's like the two main ways that people are going to be onboarded to the space, either via, you know, the ETF and kind of starting to get
institutions,
into Bitcoin and ETH and institutions and stuff like Base. And then on the other side of things, it's like, I think that kind of reflects what our vision is as well, that, you know, a lot of the Zoomers, you know, like they don't necessarily, that doesn't speak to them. You know what I mean? Like they don't have like a big portfolio, but they want something exciting. They want like, they're on funny memes. They want to be unhinged on the internet. They want something that goes up, like up and down super quickly. Like that is, and that is also why I do deeply believe that a product like pump.fun is best suited to onboard normies, and especially like Zoomers and just like early, like young adults and you know, and whatnot, this cycle.
Yeah. And you're really on the cutting edge of meme coins. So where do you think meme coins head from here? Where's, you know, the trend? Where are the trends setting?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think of pump.fun as a trendsetter. So I would like to think
It
is in our hands to some extent. No, but I do think that there are some things about meme coins. In any market, there are trends that are inevitable. And I think like we just want to best kind of see those coming and take advantage of. I think, meme coins are a cultural product and it's a social product, right? Because at the end of the day, it only succeeds through the propagation via a large, you know, distribution network of people. And also, you know, and how does that work? I mean, you've got sites, you've got front ends like pump.fun or DexScooner. But at the end of the day, like the way they really grow is like friends in group chats or friends just telling each other about what they're trading. And that's why we've also had this very early conviction that trading meme coins is a deeply social phenomenon, and we're going to keep really leaning heavily into it. It's only going to get more social from here. And I think that's what makes the most sense as well.
It's only going to get more social from here. So let's, this is the future of social. Let's like dive into that more.
Yeah. So just like from an overview, so there's social, and I also think that there's some interesting games that you can come up with in using meme coins, like more narrowly defined games. You know, everything is a game. You know, you can think there's like this, you know, if you really think about what meme coins are, like you've got a certain subset of games, like creating a coin and then like shilling it to different people and trying to get it to Dex Screener and then like, you know, spreading it all over CT and whatnot. That's one type of game. It's the only game in town, essentially, right? But there's other things that you can do. Okay, I don't really want to dive too deeply into that, but at the end of the day, that the beauty of all of this is that you can use these tokens to do a whole bunch of different stuff. So like even more gamified experiences that we want to create. And yeah, so I don't want to.
Oh, it's just like wait.
No one has really done anything like
this. So this is like in the future plans of pump.fun that you just kind of want to keep. You're hinting at. You're kind of like showing your card a little bit, but not showing the complete card.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's just about execution. There is like a thousand different ways to do it. Yeah, even in like meme coins, like someone can someone could have launched a very similar product, but you know, you need to, everything needs to stick for it to really, really, really work. So yeah, anyway, that's those side of things. Yeah, you mentioned Socialfy.
I think you kind of answered my point of like meme coins are more Socialfy than anything else, which is like an interesting, when you put it in that framework, it makes more sense. And ultimately, like, these meme coins are a shelling point for an idea or a community. And it's interesting to see how these meme coins can evolve over time. You look at Doge, for an example. It started as a joke. It was just some tweet that like caused it. It's like, oh, like, let's just put like the Doge meme on a coin. And it got new life in 2020 when Elon made it it's basically like a proxy for Elon, because he kept on like tweeting about it, like, oh, it's inevitable. And that really brought Dogecoin to the moon, no pun intended, for that cycle. And so, you know, it's like a shelling point for Elon. It's like, oh, Elon Doge. So it's like interesting, like, what these meme coins in the future, and like, you look at Ansem and Whiff, like, that's another one, really carrying that forward. I think you're just going to keep seeing this trend of a person being tied with a coin. And, you know, I'm sure you're going to see celebrities be tied with it. It's like kind of what they were trying to do with like NFTs, but with now like meme coins.
It's a lot more viral, yeah.
More viral.
I can dive into NFTs as well. I do really think that, I mean, I mentioned earlier, it's the best medium of content to really make viral, I guess.
Do you mean by NFTs? Like, what do you want to talk about with NFTs?
No, I was just like, you know, I think NFTs are a tool. I think people after last cycle have mistaken NFTs as something that they're not. Like trading NFTs is extremely
What have they mistaken them for?
Shitcoins with pictures. That's the mistake I made. I thought they were shitcoins with pictures for a long time.
But they're absolutely what do you think they actually are?
It's a different type of cultural experience. Like, there's a lot more to digest. Like a lot more. Like,
what do you think there's to digest?
Art, you've got the lore. You have a lot of things. And there's, in a way, there's way more space for the project to mess up, right? Or not to hit the right tone. It's far easier. Like, with a meme, you just need like a, you know, like back in the days, it was just like a cute cat or something. You know what I mean? Like, it just needs to be something that's like funny. That's funny to enough to a sufficient number of people. With NFTs, it needs to deeply resonate with a certain group of people, but also have the potential to expand beyond that. And that requires a lot deeper thought. And that's why it's a completely different product in and of itself. And so people are asking me when 404s, when NFTs, like, not anytime soon, because it's such a pivot. It's so different.
It's different execution, different everything. Like, meme coins, like I said in the beginning, they're the smallest unit of culture. It's very easy to rally around a meme coin. Meanwhile, with an NFT, there's so many more elements. There's so many more memes that go into it. There's like the memes that make up the lore, and then there's the art. And then there's the experience, and, you know, and then there's the community that coalesces.
Yeah,
meme coins are kind of like the simple carbohydrates, and then NFTs are the complex carbohydrates.
Sure. Yeah.
That's why, I don't know why I just thought of that, but, you know, fucking science. But yeah, something I've also seen recently with meme coins, I'm a Fractal. There's this one meme coin card, RWA, Real World Abs, which is kind of like making fun of like the founder, Sam, being jacked. And what they started doing is using, well, I guess you've seen multiple meme coins do this. They have like NFTs, and you can like mint the NFT with the meme coin, like paying for it in the meme coin. And so that's yeah, I guess that's like one trend I've seen. I'm not sure what you think of that.
Yeah, I think there's some cool things you can do with meme coins. I think especially for communities, like, and speaking more towards like, how can projects, like DeFi projects, take advantage of this? Like, I mean, Frax, for example, has a deep, like rich history of like stuff happening. And like, it's been out there for a while. There's a lot of stuff. And I think that makes total sense that, you combine like the entire lore, and you like, kind of show it to the world, and it, it not only does it give the community something to like rally behind, that's just like more of a more of like a fun experience rather than, hey, like fundamentals, like let's all like wipe into the governance token or whatnot. But it's just, yeah, I think this is a really good way for projects to for projects that are really trying to stick for a long time to retain their users. And just like create new experiences for them that are just beyond the tech.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of when Wi-Fi back in 2021, when dog coins were taking off, they made their own dog coin that was like, you know, high supply. It was basically like, I'm not sure what it was. I think it was like X amount of like Dogecoin equal to like a Wi-Fi, but they tried to like play into the whole Dogecoin meta by releasing it, and actually helped a lot. It actually did help a lot with, I'm not sure if you remember that.
Yeah.
They released Wolf.
I remember that. Oh man, that was it feels like a decade ago.
I know. I've been in this shit for too long, man. But yeah, I was gonna ask, different, so you see kind of like different platforms come about, and like, you know, Solana has been like now the king of meme coins for a while. Just, it's kind of been like the promise of all these like low latency, high speed chains, like just like very easy and cheap to use for a while. But now you see things like Base come about. And also I noticed that Blast is on your site as well. Can we go into, you know, what, like, especially with Base, because they have the back of Coinbase, and behind it you have like the biggest on-off, like on-border of mainly US people into crypto, and now they can just like go onto a chain and like start playing around. And you know, I remember hearing CZ say in an interview, I think like 2 years ago, that he expects within like 5 years that BNB chain is going to be bigger than Binance, like 5-10 years. I'm sure Base is anticipating the same, and like we can only imagine like what that means for Base. So like where do you see like meme coins going on Base? Where do you see like meme coins going on Blast?
It's all about culture ultimately. To get into Blast, I mean, it was like we decided to expand to Blast like before, you know, we still had a cold start issue. Where, you know, we didn't have enough activity in our site to where it was stimulating enough for the product to actually like be fun. Because you're a platform, and if someone creates a coin or platform and no one buys it, it just kind of sucks, and it's not a great experience.
Yeah.
So we saw Blast as an opportunity to gain some usage as well as just like mindshare within the space. It flopped, like it didn't work. And I've said it again and again and again. Like I kind of FOMO'd into it. And one thing it did is that it definitely gave me more conviction about just like being on Solana, because of like how sticky the users are. And the reason for and it's the same thing with Base. Like, dude, they like paid. I mean, I'm, you know, not to spread rumors or whatnot, but yeah, they had to, they clearly had a campaign going that where they wanted to promote like on chain, you know, degeneracy. And it completely flopped. And it just comes down to culture again.
Like, you think it flopped? Why do you think it flopped? I feel like there's more activity.
It's more activity, but they're not. I definitely stand behind this, that it's, there's going to be very few things that come from Base that are truly cool. Same with chains like Blast. You need like truly authentic culture to come up with things like this. It's a very difficult problem to solve. And if you are a chain like Base that's tied with a company, it's a corporate thing. It's like,
it's limited. It's like the cool factor is limited. It's like,
it's extremely limited.
It would be successful.
Also, it's actively discouraged. I mean, just go on Farcast or, you know, in some of the ecosystems that people have built,
I think it's just, you know, different flavors, different strategies that are going to work. Like what works on Solana is not going to work on Base. You see things on Base that like do work. It's kind of like it's definitely a different culture. Like, first of all, I feel like you definitely see more names on Base, where you just see like more like the true Anon crypto cultures on Solana. Yeah, like, meanwhile on Base, like everybody has like Farcast, you know, their Farcast, this and that. Maybe not like totally, but like you see, you know, names like leading that. And also, I will say though, with base, you see things like DGen, you know, that, you know, kind of like that community meme coin. And it's DGen is the same idea as what Bonk was. Bonk wanted to be this like community bootstrapping mechanism of Solana, especially it came out at its like lowest point. DGen, you see the same thing. It's kind of bootstrapping activity and SocialFi on base, but in a it's kind of ironic that it's called DGen, but in like a completely different way as,
I think that makes sense. I think
that makes sense. Yeah.
It makes sense because they're doing it in their own unique way. They're not trying to be something that they're not. That's a guaranteed failure. Like doing something that you're not.
And they're not.
In the past week have tried to be something that they're not. Yeah. I got a little bit of trading volume, but look, they're never going to beat Solana in this. Never. The culture that exists in Solana is extremely, like, it's so sticky, it's so authentic, it's so real. And I think it also comes down to what meme coins are. Like, ultimately, memes are deeply intertwined with add-on culture, and that's never gonna change.
It's kind of like this, not add-on, but this like rebel culture.
Absolutely.
And like at like the foundationally, at like fundamentally, when you have a company backing a chain, which is fine, is a limit in how rebel you can be.
Absolutely, yeah, completely. Because like, you know, then you're gonna have the talking heads of the chain like actively fudding whatever you're doing. Like, you know, it's not. Yeah, it's a completely different experience.
And I want to talk about like Blast for a bit, because it's kind of just like my observations, what I noticed, like. Blast kind of came out of nowhere really fast and got a lot of attention really fast. And like it worked at the beginning. Like they kind of came out with this like FOMO, don't miss out on this native yield. It's from Pac-Man, guy behind Blur. Like, you know, look how like good like Blur has done. Like Blast is going to be same, backed by Paradigm, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you saw like over $1 billion, almost like $2 billion at TVL just float before launch to a multi-sig. Nonetheless, and kind of this energy, I feel like it was a combination of leaving a bad taste in people's mouths, because it's like, oh, you didn't even like build anything yet, and along with like it's like in a multi state, and also like I kind of attracted people that were short term, because Blast came about so short term, like out of nowhere, so it attracted people like opportunists, like trying to like that, and you saw like the thing with Risk, whatever the thing that like rugged and stuff, and like But actually, it's quite interesting, because I, you know, as I've like started to use Blast more, and for me, like what attracts me to products is novelty and innovation. Like that's what I saw with Pumped on Fun. I'm like, holy shit, this is fucking sick. This is cool. This is something new that I haven't seen. On Blast, I noticed Yes takeoff. You know, baseline markets. Yes, have you seen that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so like I saw that take off, and I'm like, okay, like there's something there, and so I started using. First, I started using like baseline Yes like that. And then I started using like other things like Thruster, Hyperlock, and like in seeing Orbit. And I have to say, like, I know it's like talking shit before, but I'm like really impressed what Blast has, like the community that they have built of independent builders and founders coming to this chain, like building all really fast. But it's kind of like, even though like they've able to like coalesce this community really quickly, it's kind of overshadowed by this bad taste that was left by like kind of like coming out of nowhere, like attract like this FOMO energy. That still kind of overshadows it, leaves the bad people in mouths. And then you see like, even if there's like, and because of that, they're under, you know, much stronger of a, much like tighter of a microscope. And you see something like SSS or whatever, like it rugged, and it was like, look, like Blast, it's a rug chain, blah, 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 this and that. But it's just like one thing, and there's actually like a lot of good products, but it's just not, it's a combination of things, not getting the same attention because it's left a bad taste in people's mouths. You know, meme coins are popping off on Solana. No one's really caring about DeFi at the moment. And now and then like with Base, that's like the, you know, kind of taking off with like more like on-chain to new online, blah, blah, blah. I would say like a difference between like Blast is something like Bear Chain, which has been building a culture for years, just 4 years, cultivating a community, being patient, like work. It's the same thing, like searching, you know, recruiting, not just users, but like, you know, really bomb protocols and really like really innovative DeFi there. And because it's been around, it's like the difference between like Blast and Bear Chain is because it's like been around longer, it's built that trust. It's built that trust with people that, like, you know, it's not like, oh, it's like an opportunist, like, roll up chain, for this sure, and that. For sure. And like, that's like the difference. And that's why, like, you don't, that's like, I feel like that's the difference in vibes and like all these different chains. It's like, oh, one's like been around like longer, this and that. But this is kind of stuff I've kind of been thinking about. Like, what are your thoughts on like all of the, like, kind of like how the chain has presented itself and how it's been marketed and how it's been received and like what that means for their products, whether it's DeFi or meme coins?
Yeah, culture is everything.
TLDR, culture is everything.
Yeah. That's the title of the pod.
Culture is everything.
It really is. And what Blast made their culture about is just I think it was too much about financial gain, too much
FOMO. Yeah,
it's too much. But what that did do, however, is it did actually create a good space for, like, you know, these social fi / gamble fi projects to take off. You know, I'm not sure if you've seen some of those names, but I think that is something that I didn't really expect, but it makes a lot of sense in hindsight. That's also why they're under such a tight lens, because if you make it a lot more about financial gain, then if people lose money, they're gonna be really fucking pissed.
Native yield this like,
native yield points, like when ecosystem tokens, like, it's all superficial, and what that means is that it's very transactional. If something doesn't work out, you leave, you get pissed on Twitter, and like you blame the chain. I mean, ultimately it comes down to the fact that building an ecosystem is incredibly difficult, and, you know, I do still think that what Pac-Man has done in such a short time is quite, you know, quite admirable, but it's very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. I think, you know, if you contrast that with more of a longer term operation, like Barachain, I think, like, yeah, I mean, I think you're going to, it's going to be slower to grow for sure. I don't think the launch is going to be the super huge, crazy thing. And I don't think there's going to be, I'm not sure if they're going to be like crazy meme coins or whatever on day one that are going to go to like 1,000 quadrillion market cap, but they're going to have really unique stuff on there. And if you're a chain, that's the most important thing, because if you're really trying to build an ecosystem, that's all you got. All you got is like the unique ecosystem projects and culture that the culture cultivates these sorts of things.
Yeah, it's kind of this like compounding effect, like, you know, culture begets like what your culture represents and puts out there, kind of like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and like it just like keeps repeating itself, and unless there's like a stark change or like some like very outside variable comes in and changes the equation. It could be, you know, whether it's like I said earlier, like Elon and Dogecoin, and, you know, I think, you know, as like a chain in an ecosystem, you hit, like, you're successful is when the users divert from what like the leadership wants. And you kind of saw this with Ethereum early on. The Ethereum Foundation wanted to go more of this radical economics direction. I wrote an article back in like 2021 at like BlizzCon, and I interviewed the DarkFi people, and they were talking about how TLDR, Ethereum Foundation want to go one direction, devs want to go another. And the Ethereum Foundation did not create DeFi. They were not expecting DeFi, but as it was. And then DeFi devs came out, and then you had all these different protocols. And seeing this independence of building on the chain is the ultimate sign of you've been successful, because people are like, actually, like, you can't control what people are building, but what they're building, it's gaining traction. And you kind of see this with Solana now, with all their meme coins. Exactly. Yeah.
No, it really is a sign of success.
Yeah. And so it's interesting to see. I want to get into Fractal a bit. And, you know, Fractal has launched. It's an L2. I'm curious, like, what do you think Fractal can do? Because right now it has, like, you know, it's, they've had like a slower rollout, you know, kind of like, it's totally, you know, their devs and whatnot. Like, what can Fractal do to like attract, you know, more users, more TVL, Granted, it's like it's still rolling out. I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of like in a beta of sorts, but like more protocols are coming. But like once like everything is like ready set go, like what can Fractal do to like attract more users? Like what do you think is like the lore of Frax that is like true to itself that can attract people to come to Fractal, in your opinion, as like an outsider?
Because I've been inside. I'm a total outsider. I used to kind of hang around in these types of communities last cycle, so it's really been a while since I've really like.
It's last cycle, jeez. Time has been really fucking fast.
No, I mean just basically because I've been fucking around finding out everywhere, you know, NFTs, SocialFi, meme coins, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, ultimately, I think. Yeah, you can always criticize a chain for taking a while to deploy and stuff like that. But ultimately, like they're staying true to their users. Like, and that's the most important thing. They want to roll out something that is really functional, really good, really high quality. That's what DeFi is all about. Ultimately, look, this is going to be a DeFi chain. It makes sense. Like, I think what they can do is just keep doing what they're doing. You know, my co-founder is quite a deep believer in Frax. So I think like the fact that you have like these sorts of like believers, it shows that you're doing something right. I think Frax has been doing
The core believers are still there
for a long time, and I think it's just about continuing that. Don't be.
I think you hit . Not. I think you hit the nail on the head when like staying true to itself, staying true to its users. You know, in Frax, something that they've always done is they focus on pushing DeFi forward, innovating, pioneering, releasing things that never been done before. Whether it was, you know, AMOs or, you know, kind of the two token stablecoin system, where it's like but now I'm not sure if you're familiar with what they're coming out with on Fractal with their Phlox incentives. Like this could be actually quite interesting for pump.fun. So Phlox incentives are a way to award like the highest use smart contracts and, you know, the most active users with Fractal points, which are completely on-chain points. And how these Phlox incentives work is there's a Phlox rank, which is basically the Google page rank of smart contracts. So let's say, for example, you launch a pump.fun like meme coin, like a contract, like for like Sakura coin, because I love Sakura on Fractal. Yeah. And that coin gets a ton of activity for that week. That contract gets a ton of activity that week. Like people are trading like against the bonding, you know, for, you know, selling into it, buying into it, blah, blah, blah. And then it like comes and then like boom, it like makes out the bonding curve on FraxSwap. For that week, that Sakura like LP smart contract would get the Fractal points, which can be then distributed to users or to like the treasury or whatnot. Depends. So it's like this really unique system where, you know, instead of having some like arbitrary committee devs, whatever, that decide like, oh, these are where the points go, you know, after like 3 months, whatever, this is an automated way to, you know, distribute to points and something that will
so
be
so much sense as well.
Yeah,
I think like it's not too dissimilar from Barachain, just that the validators decided on
the validators.
The validators decide. Whereas in DeFi fashion on Fractal, it's done automatically, right?
The
mechanism design needs to be like outstanding. It needs to be perfect for that to work. So it makes sense why it's taking a while to roll out. And look, if it's going to work, then I think it really does incentivize it. It will really, really help propagate and push the DeFi protocols like that kind of need the point of this as well is that like it's very difficult to roll out DeFi protocols generally because it's like it takes a long time to develop, and also you have a huge cold start problem. You need liquidity for most of the projects to work. So if you design this in the right way, then you can really, really help projects get past that cold start. That is how you push innovation forward, not just from like a team perspective, like building the greatest stuff, but like from an ecosystem perspective, incentivizing the people to come over to your side, to your chain, because they have the highest chance of succeeding.
Yeah, exactly. You hit the nail once again, hitting the nail on the head here. Like overcoming that cold start problem. Like, you know, like boom, you have something that's actually like gaining traction. Like, here's some Fractal points. And what's interesting about fractal points, for people that are not familiar, is it's incentivizing activity at the chain level, which is a lot different than incentivizing activity at the app layer. Like if I'm like a DeFi protocol at the app layer, I'm trying to incentivize liquidity, the hence like the whole pool tool shit, whatnot. With chains, I'm trying to incentivize activity on the chain, but also people just being on the chain itself. So what also goes into fractal points is, you know, what's in your wallet, like Capital One, what's in your wallet, but like, you know, what do you have holding on the chain? So if you're holding Frax, you know, Frax ETH, maybe some other, you know, whatever is whatever other tokens are included in that. Maybe it's like people that projects that are like native, deeply integrated into Fractal. That actually goes into your Fractal points score, your Flox incentives, you know, Fractal points score. And then also if you stake your FXS or VEFXS, you get a boost to all that. So it's quite the innovative system. It's going to be coming out in a few weeks. But yeah, I thought this makes sense with a pump.fun. I was like, oh, this is like, there could be something there. But yeah, we're almost done with the interview, like, you know, wrapping up. Do you have like, you know, any final thoughts, like anything else you want to share with our lovely audience that have been here for a little over the past hour?
Yeah, I think I'm going to say it again. Culture is everything. Don't discount
it. I knew you were going to say that.
Really, really don't discount it. I think it's going to be, you know, if you really think about, again, this is like a DeFi podcast. If you think about how to onboard users to DeFi, it's going to be either the institutional route or it's going to be some other way. And I think that other way is like, you're going to onboard users through really unique consumer apps like pump.fun that are going to eventually be on chain and try to play around with other stuff. And ultimately, yeah, that's how you can really, 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 really change everything, especially with the younger demographic. I mean, look, let's face it, like some of the older demographic that are like institutions, they are slowly opening up to it, but they're not as open to innovation as the younger demographic.
Yeah, they don't have the same risk tolerance.
Exactly. And like, again, like a lot of DeFi is very risky, and that's a really good thing. Like it's audacious, it's pushing innovation forward. So like, if you want to get these sorts of people involved, you need to really invest in culture. And yeah, that's what I think a really good takeaway is, if you're, you know, I guess from a DeFi perspective.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Culture is everything. Okay, cool. Now, at the end of every show, you know, we like to ask like a few like fun, we have the lightning round where we ask like a few fun questions. So I'm just gonna do three of them. So to begin the lightning round, when did you first touch the chain and sex doesn't count?
First touch the chain?
Yeah, like first you use the chain, like without, like it's not a like essential, yeah, not a centralized exchange, but like.
Yeah, I mean, this was during COVID. I think it was this ETH mainnet. Man, I don't even know what I was doing there. I think, I remember. This was when I first started getting into, I think one of my first tokens that like did really well was Aave. I got into that quite like fairly mm-hmm. early.
So it's like Aave, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, that was a really nice. Good, that was a really good flip. That was like, that's how I really got hooked as well. I started playing around with it and I made a little bit of money. So I was like, okay, this DeFi shit's cool.
Nice. And then if you weren't in crypto and you weren't in finance, what would you be doing for a living?
I mean, because if I wasn't in crypto, I would probably be in finance. I mean, yeah, Web 2, I guess. I don't know. Probably, yeah, because I'm destined for the building, kind of lifestyle. So yeah, it has to be that.
Yeah. And last question, who would you recommend as a guest? Who do you want to see on Flywheel next?
Oh man, that's a really good question. Because I don't necessarily know who you've already, I mean, I would really want to hear someone from Barrachain, but pretty good chance you've already had someone.
Oh yeah, I had Smokey on. Yeah.
Smokey. Let me think about it. What makes sense to have on this podcast? I'm really interested, Matt. I feel like you've already had all these guests before. I really want to hear about people trying to push
kind of like leverage trading forward, because it's a really interesting design space. I keep coming back to projects that try to do like take leverage on anything, you know, but we've never actually seen anything succeed. I'm really interested to hear more about that design space.
Lever up on meme coins. Frax is building BAM, the Borrow AMM, which would allow for leverage on meme coins. So that is something that isn't. I can send you stuff about that after the show. But final thing is, like, where can people find you? Where can people find Pump.Fun? Like, where can people keep up with everything?
So me personally, my Twitter handle is A1LON9. You can just like look forward to takes on Solana and probably culture, meme coins, etc. If you want to delve into that, Pump.Fun is, well, it's in the name, so you can check out our site. And yeah, it's literally in the name. So yeah, Pump.Fun. That's where you'll find me.
Yeah. Literally, that's it. Yeah. And wherever you're watching this, whether if you're watching this on X, you know, please go ahead, like, repost, leave us a comment, a reply, let us know what you think. If you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe, you know, hit the bell button for all the updates, leave a comment, let us know what you think, give us a like, follow us on all our socials, at Flywheel DeFi on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram. You can follow me on Twitter, at DeFiDave22. And you can go to our website, flywheeldefi.com, for all the latest updates about Frax and DeFi. You'll thank yourself later. Alon, thank you so much for coming on for this great episode. We hope to see you again soon.
Yeah, really appreciate it. It was a great conversation.
Yeah, thank you. Everything said on this episode is not financial or tax advice. This channel is strictly for educational purposes and is not an investment advice or solicitation to buy or sell any assets or to make any financial decisions. This video is not tax advice whatsoever. Please talk to your accountant and do your own research.